Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Metal Shop here on 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. And the band that we have here tonight has a coming out called Brace for Impact, out August 25th on Nameless Grave Records. Highly anticipated album, signed to an awesome local label. And they're going to be playing September 1st at the Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma, part of the two-day Sabretooth Music Festival featuring Yob, Ludacra, Year of the Cobra, and Helmsley. And of course, the band I'm about to talk to, Colony Drop. What's up, guys?
Hey. Thank you for having us.
Very welcome. So let's go around the room. Tell me what you do in Colony Drop, what your name is, and what you do.
My name is Ryan, and I play lead guitar.
Hi. My name is Ben, and I play lead guitar.
Wow.
My name is Ari, and I play the bass.
My name is Joseph, and I yell about things.
And I'm Eric. I play the drums.
So I noticed that's not something you get too often, is two lead guitarists. So that the dueling leads, yes. That was from the beginning, was just like, none of us are going to be rhythm, we're just going to be dueling leads.
High speed twin lead.
I like it.
That is the motto.
Awesome. Right on. Well, so the record's about to drop. There's three singles out. We're going to play those singles here on Metal Shop. Why don't we get a little bit of the origin of the band? You know, who started it? When did it... kind of bubble up?
You two.
Me.
You, Ben, and Joseph were in a group previously.
Yeah, we had kind of a, I don't know what you call it, a genreless heavy band that Joe was doing vocals and I was playing drums in.
Okay.
With an acquaintance.
Messy, I would call it.
Messy,
or
yeah.
The genre was half butted.
Butted, yeah. So me and Joe are doing that. It's me playing drums. We have a guitar player. Joe's doing vocals. And then I meet Ryan at the boxing gym.
Okay.
Through a mutual love of boxing and grindcore.
But not just boxing, it's anime.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to Japan, found out that you spoke Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. And then, it was kind of a really serendipitous situation. I meet him at the boxing gym, and we have, the same kind of interest in Japan and anime and stuff. And that was cool. Was just another kind of nerdy guy like myself.
Sure.
I was like, oh, cool dude. Then one day I'm at Trading Musician.
That's right.
I'm walking in, and I see Ryan behind the counter. And then Ryan's like, oh, dude, nice PLF shirt. And I was like, oh, you like grindcore? I was like, yeah, I like grindcore. He's like,
that's awesome.
I'm in a grind band. I was like, what? Now we got to be friends. And then one thing led to another. Ryan was playing bass with us for a little bit. But that band didn't go anywhere and kind of basically dissolved. And then just a year or so later, we all kind of get together one day. And
Joseph gave me a phone call and asked if I wanted to play guitar in a band that sounded like Voivod.
Okay.
You shot me a text. It was in the middle of the pandemic. I remember
this is pre-pandemic. It's
2019.
Oh,
it's
okay.
I remember this differently. This is weird. So here's what I remember. I remember that Ryan and I were texting and saying that we hadn't hung out in a minute and we wanted to hang out together. And so we started planning. And then out of nowhere, Ryan kind of gave me a follow-up text and said, hey, I don't know if I want to be the vocalist in Turian anymore.
That's right, yeah.
Do you want to try out? Now, I'm not the vocalist in Turian. Your partner, Vern, is. But we had a conversation about me auditioning, and I decided not to. We together decided that I would not audition. But I kind of ended that conversation with, but if you're ever going to do something else, like, I don't know, something Voivod-y, call me. And then I think it was like 2 hours later, like I think
he sent
me this text. He's like, hey, I've got this riff tape from like 8 years ago. Is this what you were thinking of? And I like played it while I was washing the ditches. And I yelled at my vent, like, this is great. I want to sing on this. Okay, honey, whatever you want. And so I texted Ryan back like, yeah, let's do it. And let's get Ben on drums, and then group text with Ben, and then Ben said, I'd love to be in a band with you guys, but it's never going to happen because I don't want to do drums. I want to play lead guitar also. And I'm like, great, we've started a band and we'll never meet a drummer. And then for some reason, it had to be like a week, 2 weeks later, Ryan texted me again and said, I just met a drummer. He just came into trading musician.
That's a good place to be if you're going to try.
I met all of my bandmates. Yeah,
he isn't in a band yet.
You were wearing a Yacha shirt, and I was like, I know those guys.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that was perfect. I just moved back to Seattle. And I was like really on the hunt for a new band. And I think Ryan just saw that in my eyes.
You were buying drum gear. I was like, this is suspicious. Yeah, He's buying new drum stuff.
Sticks or something. And then he was like, at the end of a 5-10 minute conversation, it ended in like, hey, you want to like audition for this? And yeah, I think it would, you know.
It just worked out pretty quickly and easily.
It felt very natural. We were just on the same page.
Yeah.
I think it's because everybody liked, like, you and I were also trying to start, me and Ben were trying to start, like, a goofball 2-guitar, like, knuckle-dragging grind band, like Magruder Grind or something.
Yeah.
Everybody's always kind of come to the table and, like, shown up front, like, oh, yeah, I like a lot of goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Would you call this band goofy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, in a way, this band is really goofy. I would say that most of the time we're happy with it. One of us is laughing about something.
Yes.
But it's seriously goofy.
Yeah, no.
Seriously goofy.
Yeah.
Dead serious.
The painstaking several hours of anguish of like scrutinizing parts kind of goofy.
Composed goofiness.
So Ari, how'd you join the band?
Well, I'll tell you. So Joe and I have been friends for a while. He's a great writer and editor, and so we've worked on writing stuff, back and forth a bunch of times. And he played me these two songs that were, they actually had demoed the entire record that we are just about to put out. But there were two songs, and they were so, he sent them to me via email, and this was 2020, deep pandemic, and I was like, this is it. This is so ripping. You don't even know how ripping. Those songs were Guillotine and Stand Against the World. They didn't even have Joe's vocals on them. But I was like, I didn't even know what.
Not yet.
And they were so, I said, I got it.
I need in.
I said, give me a shot. And Joe was like, yeah, but you like play slow music. And this is like speed metal. And I was like, I want in. I can do this. And I was like,
you learned like three of the songs before we even said anything.
He said of his bass recorded over our demos before we even met him.
That's amazing.
I had to win him over. I'm like, yeah, I want these guys to know.
Ryan said, oh, he's in the band before we met him.
We were sold instantly.
Well, yeah, but then I was like, wait, we made Eric try out.
Oh, no,
he's got to come try. Like, it's not.
It was a proper
you
tryout.
You had already passed.
He literally just had to show up. It was like,
he came to the first practice and knew eight of our songs.
We had a bunch
whole album worth of demos, and it was like
a Robert Trujillo like kind of
model. Exactly.
That's very kind.
It was so
but yeah, I mean, I just love the song so much.
We couldn't give you $1 million to join.
There was no signing bonus, but other than that, it was exactly like Robert Trujillo.
The signing bonus was
just such a nice bunch of guys, and I was just like, these guys are so fun and so cool. And I hadn't played. I've been doing solo music for a long time, and I'm playing with my wife, but again, we have it's very different than being in a collective.
Sure.
And playing with these guys is just like, I was like, I don't even know. I was telling my wife, I don't even know if they know how good this is, because it's so good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think at a point in time, I think we all kind of, I think this was like immediately before we showed you, but I think there was like a moment in the pandemic where we'd been like workshopping this stuff a lot. And I think there was like a practice where we all kind of looked at one another. And this one was me, Eric, and Ben and Ryan. And I think we're kind of like, this is like good, right? This is kind of good. Or this could be good, right?
Just needs some bass.
I think that happened.
We almost did a couple shows without bass. You remember
that's
that?
Right. We were really figuring out.
We were like, let's try and do it without a bass player.
We were going to get some
bunch of amp switching nonsense.
We were going to get the pedals and the low end and stuff like that.
It sounded stupid.
It sounded pretty bad.
No, it would not have worked.
No, it wouldn't.
But you made it here.
The songs were so arranged, and so that's why it's they're being a little self-effacing, I think, with the goofy stuff. Because the truth is, this stuff was brutally arranged, and that was really what attracted me. It was like, this stuff did have that Voivod, you know, attention to detail type arrangement. That was very attractive to me.
That's awesome. So let's go into one of the songs, actually. Again, the band is Colony Drop. They're going to be playing September 1st at Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma, the Sabretooth Music Festival featuring Yob, Ludacris' final Northwest performance with Colony Drop, the band you're listening to, Year of the Cobra, and Helms Ali. Again, that's September 1st at the Spanish Ballroom. You can order your copy of Brace for Impact, whether it's on CD, on vinyl. You can download the album on Bandcamp, pre-order it, whatever you do. Check out this band. Again, it's Colony Drop. We're going to go into the song Colony Drop off the album Colony Drop, Brace for Impact by Colony Drop. Anything you want to say about this song?
Well, what's to say, guys? This is our Megadeth side song.
A lot of Megadeth.
Megadeth and Death Side were probably the biggest.
Nice.
I was delighted that they allowed that the band allowed the entire record to begin with a bass solo. That is literally Joe says Brace for Impact, the name of the record. Mm-hmm. And then there's a bass solo. But we also talked a lot about how great it would be to have the first song on the record be the name of the band, because obviously with Black...
Yeah.
It's like the best way. It's like there's really no better...
Yeah.
An introduction to an introduction.
Right. If you could somehow name the first song the name of your band, like that's what's better.
Let's go. Well, let's jump into it. It's Colony Drop, Brace for Impact by Colony Drop. It's Metal Shop here on The Rock.
Brace for Impact! Explore!
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Metal Shop, it's 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. So give me the rundown of the idea of this band, because it seems like a all-encompassing, like, sci-fi deal. Is that true? Is there kind of like all-encompassing, like, you know, stories throughout the albums, or is it more just the idea of a cyber thrash?
There is no it's not a concept album.
Yeah.
There is no overarching
what I was trying to
theme. Yeah, sure. I'd say there's I have my things that I was interested in when I was writing the lyrics. Mm-hmm. We many of us in the band, as previously stated, share an interest in Japanese animation,
yeah,
right? Especially like the classic stuff. The band's named after an instant from Mobile Suit Gundam, which is like a beloved long-going series. Mm-hmm. We're all into Akira, things like Neon Genesis Evangelion, some of us, stuff like that, right?
Fist of the North Star.
Fist of the North Star, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, things like this, right? And I'm a sci-fi novel nerd myself, and so it seemed really intuitive to just start folding those things into the lyrics.
Yeah.
And my basic approach when I started writing things was to try and find something at the core that was like emotional or like a commentary about society, and then kind of laid inside the apple, right? Like wrap it in like the sweetness of like the sci-fi aesthetic. And so that was the approach on this record.
Because there's some vaguely political, like, not vaguely. Like,
it's a pretty overt.
Yeah, Guillotine, Standing Against the World.
Yeah, I mean,
other songs, too.
I'm not the first person to say the words, bring back the guillotine. hopefully I'll be the last.
Yeah.
And there will be no more Twitter after that.
Yes.
I would say
you mean X?
Yeah.
I would say the patient X era.
The sci-fi thing was, even musically, like, the whole identity was from there, from the get-go as well.
I think so.
We've always, like, the music, I think, reflects a lot of that kind of, like, opening theme songs from cartoons or video game music almost, too.
Yes.
It's always kind of veiled in, we kind of live in a metropolis of the future, sort of, so it's
even
all around
us. The album art is, like, it kind of feels like a classic comic book
cover.
The big explosions and everything, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not where it's like one story starts at the beginning. But to me, like, your lyrics, there is some, it's not like they're connected, but there's thematic things that are.
Yeah.
It's an anthology.
There
the story, exactly. The story is told by the same voice.
Yeah, that's true.
I think
that's true. And I guess I'd also want to say, you know, like, there's a long history of bands that, like, you know, mine, like, classic fantasy for lyrics. Like,
yeah.
There's a million black metal bands that, like, do Tolkien and stuff. You know, of course, we love High on Fire. High on Fire, like, does a lot of Conan the Barbarian type stuff. And I like that. Mm-hmm. But when I was 12, and getting into metal, I wasn't reading Conan the Barbarian. I was watching Gundam Wing.
Okay.
So, like, it just seemed natural to me that if this is stuff that makes me feel like I did when I was 12 and I first heard Painkiller, then I would, like, go to, like, the imagery that was in my brain at that point in my life.
That's a big... Rob was, I mean, the Sentinel.
Yeah.
You want to, like, talk about, like,
sci-fi.
Progeny. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
He's hard sci-fi. With the Exciter. Electric Eye. All of it. He's,
Metal Gods.
Yeah
it seems... It seems very natural to me to do this, although I'm aware it's not the most normal thing in the world.
So there's a couple things I want to. So I'm looking at the record. It's beautiful, by the way. Shout out to Matt Sticker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Sticker, incredible artwork. Looks like literally insane. A comic book, like old school looking comic book from the 80s or something.
Little to no direction. Also,
he just
beautiful.
He just nailed it.
Beautiful vinyl. But you guys recorded at the Unknown up in Anacortes. So tell me about that experience, because it from all accounts, it's just a cool ass experience. So it's an abandoned church mm-hmm. that's turned into a recording studio.
It's an old Croatian church.
Wow.
And I had recorded there with my other band, Turian, and had a tremendous experience because Nick Wilbur, the guy who runs it, is just...
He's a gem.
A fantastic, super, super great guy. It's haunted. It is very haunted. Yeah. We didn't particularly have any experiences, but it's got a really, really great energy. And it's not a... I mean, I think that a handful of metal bands have recorded there.
Sumac recorded there.
And Death I do Cave believe did. Death Cave, yeah. But it's not... You know, we might be giving away our little... secret treasure here. I would love for Nick to get tons more business if at all possible. It's out in Anacortes. It's a stone's throw away. It's a fantastic.
He's done some punk bands and you know, some local rock bands and stuff. But
he's got amazing ears. Their gear collection. There now we're really turning into an advertising for the unknown because it should
be. Amazing.
And I remember just you know I was talking to some friends who recorded there and they're like, oh yeah, it's just such a great vibe and there's timpani and all this stuff.
He had a Mellotron, my language, but he had a real deal Mellotron that I got to touch, you know, that's like...
The amount of amps and, like, just vintage stuff, it's just really, you're just, it's like a kid in a candy store kind of situation.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. He had this killer old Guild guitar, and I was playing with it so much that I wrote a song for the record.
That became heartfelt.
We have an interlude on the record that I wrote. Because the guitar was so cool.
You guys played acoustic.
Yeah.
Guitar kind of reinvented this sort of almost Metallica-ish double lead electric thing turned into this sort of acoustic. It's our walk-on music.
It's such an amazing atmosphere in that show. You know, especially when we're playing the drums or we're getting that echo throughout the room. But I think, like, being there, you're just, you feel like you can be really creative and kind of isolated from the world. And I think that's why Heartfelt kind of did, because we were really feeling it at that time. And so it's a really nice addition to the album, and I think is a great segue to the second half of the record.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like palette cleanser.
It's really big for a studio. Like, when you go to a studio, I know you expect kind of like a big tracking room, but it's just a big, empty church, and you kind of feel free.
Yeah.
Like, it's vacation-y. It's huge. Awesome.
Huge. Yeah.
How long did you guys go up there for?
4 days.
Four days. Cool.
Two weekends.
Awesome.
We got the drums, bass, and vocals done all there.
Yeah, very cool. Really,
it was very kind of just like... Again, these guys had, before I even showed up, the whole record had been demoed.
Yeah.
So this was really an execution kind of thing.
Makes it a good excuse to go up to Anacortes and see that beautiful, you know, I mean, we're so lucky for the richness and the beauty of the Northwest here. We're getting very roomy here right now, you know. Let's burn some incense. Again, they're going to be playing September 1st at the Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma with Yob, Ludacra, Year of the Cobra, Helmsley, and of course Colony Drop. What a that's crazy! That's amazing.
It's gonna be a hell of a show.
We were like, this is crazy. We didn't even. It was. We heard about it like a couple months ago. Like there were murmurs of this, and I kept asking, Joe, is this a thing?
Is this really a thing? Stop. The less we talk about it, the better it'll feel if it happens.
Is it sold out?
No.
Okay.
Well, not when we're recording this.
I'm going.
So I don't.
It's a Friday?
It's a Friday.
September. Okay, I'm going.
Good times.
Hell yeah, dude.
Right on. Okay, so my question for you guys, what got you into metal? You know, what was... Not everyone was born with a freaking Brujeria CD, you know. What was your first kind of foray into it, whether it was, you know, some radio rock bands or an older brother gave you a Pantera CD or something? What was it? So, yeah, we'll start with you, man.
My dad was always, like, an appreciator of music across the board. Like, cool. I can remember more than anything, like, growing up, and
awesome.
Journey.
Yeah.
But he would, my brother, I come from a family of athletes, and while we were working out, I would hear, you got another thing coming.
Nice.
Multiple times, every single day. And for the longest time, I absolutely hated Judas Priest for that reason. I couldn't think of my dad sitting in a recliner while I was working out, like pumping music at me, you know? I just always heard metal growing up, and I got a guitar when I was 11, and I realized that playing it fast was the most fun thing to do.
There you go.
So it was Whiplash or nothing.
That's awesome. And how about you, Matt?
For me, you know, when I was I think I started playing drums and guitar when I was around 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. And I got into like the kind of Epitaph label,
yeah.
Punk rock.
Yeah,
skate punk. But I think the defining moment was when I was like probably in sixth grade. And my big sister had some friends over who were like these, you know, skater dudes. And I was playing Grand Theft Auto 3 right when it came out on uh-huh. PS2. And they stopped hanging out with my sister and started hanging out with me. And it's like, cool. Like, older bros are going to hang out with me. They're like, hey, you want to listen? I was like, sure. So I think some of the first metal that I heard that changed my life is, well, one band we talked about earlier that we can't say on the video. AXCX mm-hmm. was one of those. Macabre, Cannibal Corpse. And when I heard this music, and it's like, you know, extreme grindcore death metal, and I'm like 10 or 11 years old, the first thing I could do, only thing I could do was like burst out in laughter. Like, this is insane. And I was kind of obsessed with this like extreme music that's like no holds barred. And I wasn't sure if they were being serious. But at the same time, like when you hear music like that, you don't really know what's going on and you want to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
So that just kind of like lit the fire of me getting interested in just crazy music. I already liked fast music, and I never heard anything fast like that, but also kind of ridiculous too.
Sure.
So that's kind of my.
It brought you in. You're like, I gotta know about this. What the hell's going on?
Either here? The worst or the best introduction.
Yeah.
I'd say it turned out pretty good though.
Yeah. So. Ari, how about you, man? What got you into heavy music?
I'm generationally older than these guys, and but the stuff that I that really got me excited about music when I was a kid, like Van Halen and AC/DC. Is also stuff that and Sabbath, things that these guys like too. You know, I had Master of Puppets on cassette, and I remember listening to it and being scared that if my dad heard it, he'd be really angry and he would take it away because it was just, I thought it was just so incredibly bludgeoning and gnarly. And then, of course, quickly I realized that it was not. There was harder and faster and stuff.
But at the time.
The time, it was gnarly, but I loved. You know, I loved Anthrax as a young person. Mm-hmm. I remember I could not get enough of them. I loved Megadeth, and all kinds of stuff that we all kind of all like too. It's funny. There was a band that I loved when I was young. We all like Prong, and it's funny it's like generationally. I'm like, how do you? I remember jamming with you guys. I'm like, how do you even know Voivod and Prong? I saw Prong. Voivod and Soundgarden play at the Stone.
That's so incredible.
In San Francisco. That was the bill.
I've never been more jealous of a show.
It's so envious.
That's crazy.
That was the bill. Voivod headline and Soundgarden were in the middle and Prong were the openers. And it was, and it's funny that those, like Voivod are still really relevant to
that would be totally inverse nowadays. It would be like Soundgarden headline, Voivod opens.
Yeah, Prong in the middle. Yeah.
So funny. But yeah, no, I always liked that. And I just got into uglier and uglier stuff as I got older.
Awesome. And Joseph, how about you, man? What got you into metal?
Okay, so when I was, I think it had to be like 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kid in he was older than me. He was like, and I thought that was cool. And he's like, hey, you want to come to my house after school and play Legacy of Kain: Soul?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, hell yeah, dude, it's a vampire game. My parents won't let me get anything that's meaner than Super Mario World. Let's go play with some vampires. And he's like, yeah, this game's great, but the music is only okay, so I'm just going to play a CD. And I just starts like amping up this music. It's like the most energetic thing I'd ever heard. I'm like, what on earth is this? What is this? And he's like, it's just Metallica, dude. It's just Center Sandman. What? And I'm like, my parents are like scared of this band. They won't like let me listen to this band. He's like, this is not that hard.
Yeah.
But like, you seem really into it. So like, we can keep listening to Metallica if you want. Like, you're like really into doing that. So like, at a certain point in time, I kind of stopped playing Soul Reaver and was just kind of bopping in the computer chair.
That's awesome.
And it's all been bad decisions from there.
And now, you know, you help run a fest, Northwest Tire Fest. You write for Decibel Magazine. You sing in a metal band. So obviously that song made an impact on you, man.
Singing is maybe a little... you're being very generous.
You
and I appreciate
scream
it.
Or yarl.
I don't know, you sing more than most folks nowadays.
Now these days, yes, I'm working on doing even more melodies.
We can call it singing.
Terrorizing.
Yes. Notes. There are notes.
Bark. Under the note.
He barks.
Note, yeah. Note machine. You can see the notes.
And last but not least, what got you into heavy music?
I'm one of those kids that had a dad that thought it was a good idea to take some headphones and put it up to my mom's pregnant belly.
Okay.
And play like Black Sabbath.
Nice.
And, like Child in Time by Deep Purple.
Awesome.
And, and yeah, like as I grew up, he basically like
rocker in the womb.
Yeah, he fed me a steady diet of classic rock and like hard rock and, you know, like a lot of 90s stuff like Metallica and.
Are you from Seattle?
I'm from New Jersey originally.
Okay, cool.
None of us are from here.
But it just kind of, you know, it evolved as I got older. I was like on the hunt for things that sounded crazier and more extreme and faster and weirder, and I got really into like a lot of prog rock too, like King Crimson, mm-hmm. and Yes, and yeah, it's just a fan of music in general.
Nice.
Yeah.
Everyone here, those are kind of not so secret influences sometimes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sometimes the prog rock stuff.
Yeah. That's all. Okay, well, you know what? We're nerding out about music. Let's nerd out about the actual music that we're talking about. Colony Drop, again, Brace for Impact is the name of the record. You can order it, and you can have it in time for the show September 1st at Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma. Sabertooth with Yob, Ludacra, Year of the Cobra, Helms Ali, and the band we're talking to right now. The album available on the Colony Drop or Nameless Grave Bandcamps. You can check it out there. There's a link in the description. And we're going to go into Stand Against the World. Anyone want to say anything about this one or let the music speak for itself?
This is a JoJo reference.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, let's get into it. It's Colony Drop here on Metal Shop.
Power!
Metal Shop here on, and we have Colony Drop in studio. They're going to be playing a big gig, Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma, Sabretooth Music Festival, Yob, Ludicra, Colony Drop, Year of the Cobra, Helms Ali. As of the time we speak, it is not quite sold out. It is a hot ticket, though. It probably will sell out, so get yours while you still can, and get your album while you still can. Brace for Impact, out August 25th on Nameless Grave. You guys are a Northwest band. You guys haven't all grown up here in the Northwest, but you're a Northwest band. A very strong, rich history of music from. Let's go around the room. Tell us what your favorite, Washington State bands of all time are. Let's start with you.
Start with Eric.
Well, yeah, I didn't have to think too hard about this. I love Alice in Chains.
Awesome.
And yeah, easy answer.
Cool. Right on, Joseph.
I want to say Jimi Hendrix. That's kind of a cheap, but that isn't true. I want to say Metal Church, even though I love that band, but that isn't true. It's also Alice in Chains. Dirt's a perfect album. I want to say Queensryche. Operation Mindcrime is like probably like my second favorite record, but it's Alice in Chains. Sorry.
Okay.
The amount of amazing music from this region is mind blowing.
Yeah.
To me, I had a Mudhoney T-shirt in high school. I was obsessed with Sub Pop stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a twofer because I want to be cool.
Yeah.
Soundgarden, because I think those records are really important. And also Carp.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's my hipster. That was my inner hipster had to throw.
One of the heaviest.
They were so heavy. Underrated still.
Our bassist is the coolest one.
And those guys from Big, and then they went on to do Big Business, which is freaking awesome.
Oh, man, so I wasn't thinking Washington State when...
Oh, yeah, it's okay. We can just say, Northwest.
So I grew up around Portland.
Yeah.
I'm from Oregon City, but I grew up around Portland. And the band that really changed my life is from there. Knelt Road.
Oh, yeah.
Knelt Road.
Just this really grimy, kind of noisy, grindy, death metal-y band that was kind of preceded the whole war metal thing that kind of came out. And it's just... The way they play their shows, I saw them numerous times in Portland. It was like they start and it's just a nonstop assault of noise and blasts and like noisy solos and three vocalists at a time. Sometimes
the drummer does vocals
Charlie too, yeah. Who plays in Sissy Spacek now down in LA. Lucas was one of the guitar players. He was in bands like Fall of the Bastards from that area, and also not Engorged, but some other bands. But it was such an amazing band to play nonstop. They wouldn't talk to anybody, and then they'd end their set on a dime. And it was like you witnessed something. And then Gordon, of course, Gordon Ashworth, he's an amazing musician. He did a lot of ambient music on his own. But not only that, like when I was a young person, they were just really great mentors, really kind to me. Didn't kind of cool guy me ever,
They weren't gatekeepers.
Yeah. They weren't gatekeepers at all. They were really accepting and really encouraged, me every time I saw them. And when I lived in Japan, I got to hang out with Charlie and Gordon when they did a little noise tour, and they invited me on stage to do guest vocals one time.
There you go.
Great memory. So
Knelt Rote
starts with a K. Knelt Rote.
Okay.
Brutal, crazy band.
What was that other band Charlie started afterwards?
Charlie was in a band. He's in, Sissy, a band called Vile Horrendous Aerial Bombardment.
That's the one. It was
with Gordon and
So
just they're these noise guys that also played grind, and it was like kind of pushing the limit of what I think you could do with grind and noise. And
that's Bombardment awesome. Was like, because Knelt Rote wasn't gross enough.
Knelt Rote had too many notes.
Yeah.
Right.
So Gordon stopped playing. He made up a fake, like a weird noise-making guitar thing, and then they just played pure crazy noise. And
wow.
It just changed my life, watching people play music like that. And the time when I was growing up in Portland, there's just a lot of like wild grind bands like that.
Yeah.
That just like inspired me to play music the way I play it now.
So. He's a grind guy.
I'm a grind guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's where there's a lot of grind guys in this album.
It's actually a secret grind guy.
I was going to say, there's a lot for his classic metal. Some of the stuff sounds, these guys get pretty grindy.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I had an epiphany going around the room of what my most favorite, something I probably wouldn't listen to at all now. But one of the reasons I moved to Seattle in the first place was the Blood Brothers.
Oh my gosh.
Such a sordid history listening to that band. When I was 16, I grew up in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And I'd really say important. For most of my career of being a musician, I couldn't find other people to play music with. So That band was so unbelievably weird and ostracizing. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I thought that, I mean, you've got your Unwound, you have your Botch, there's like, you know, all these. I mean, even was Con-Aid's not from out this way.
No. Con-Aid is from out
yeah,
this
that's
way.
What I thought.
Not Seattle, but like, the, yes.
That whole group, I was just, and I thought music out here was so weird.
Yeah.
And I wanted nothing but to play like the weirdest, like, most kind of messed up music possible.
And now you do, because like everything in the extreme metal scene up here is super alienating, and we play really straightforward music, which makes us the most extreme band. Yeah.
That's legitimately why I think I want to play in like a verse-chorus, because like early on in my career, it was like I was writing like Orthrealm knockoff music, or like I think I legitimately had a Click Attack at Katawi.
Yeah, we talked
like 7-inch or something, like really obscure, like Gravity Records stuff.
I don't know. This is the stuff that blows my mind. Like, I don't know how Ryan knows these bands. I saw Click Attack at Katawi in college, and I didn't. And when you told me you know this, I'm like, how do you know this band?
Because it's Mario Rubicala, and he played on Hot Snake's best record.
Exactly. You know? Well, I read the internet.
Yeah. There you go. All I had. Yeah, all I had was the internet and everything. I used to watch KEXP. Video that this was the coolest place on earth, because we didn't have anything like that in rural North Carolina. So,
absolutely.
All right. Well, if people can't come to the show, what's the best way to support you guys?
I think check the record out.
Please listen to it.
You know what I mean? If you're a vinyl person, sure, buy it. But honestly, just listen to that.
Just listen to it. Yeah. Support Nameless Grave Records too. It's such a, you know, it's such a hard time for everybody, and these, you know, these guys are, you know, basically paying out of their pocket,
they are doing,
you know,
to support us. They're doing the good work, and they put these beautiful records out. I look at Nameless Grave, and it's just like so many releases. It's like, you know, they do all these reissues, super curated, tons of love. It's obvious. It's, you know what I mean? I was excited that they wanted to put it, you know.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Brandon and Nameless Grave. Sean and Wise Bud. Thank you.
Really good people.
Can't thank you both of you enough.
Yeah.
And can I just add one more thing? You know, I know it seems it's true. Like, if you follow us on Instagram, follow us on Bandcamp, follow us on Spotify, we will not blow your spot up, I promise you. But like, every time someone follows us, first of all, we get that nice little dopamine hit, which is intriguing in this like very encroaching post-apocalypse. But also, like, numbers do matter. Like, I don't think like listeners realize that, but like, your numbers do matter, and they make it easier for us to book maybe shows not run by our friends, which we haven't had a chance to really do yet. You know, like, now that we've got the album out, I think we want to like play out. We'd like to go to Portland. We'd like to like do some other things. And like, the more like hard data we have to be able to like demonstrate, the easier that is. It sounds corny, but it's true.
We're such an analytics based thing.
It's me. I'm an analytics dweeb.
That's the sci-fi.
Right.
Sci-fi.
We talk about this when we're printing stuff.
What's our ratio?
Exactly. Well, okay. Well, thanks, guys, for coming through. Again, the album is called Brace for Impact, available by the time you hear this. It'll be coming out in a week. Again, on the 25th, Nameless Grave Records. Pre-order it, vinyl, CD, or just listen to it. Spanish Ballroom in Tacoma, September 5th, Sabretooth Music Festival with Yob, Ludacra, Year of the Cobra, Helms Ali, and Colony Drop. Any final words before we jump into the Clockwork Grip?
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Stoked for the record. Thanks for the copy of it. And let's just jump right into it, all right?
Right on.
All right, here it is. It's The Clockwork Grip by Colony Drop on Metal Shop. If you test your fates, corridors and blades.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.